What we saw last week was Manasseh was the king that came after Hezekiah. And remember, he had the longest reign of any king there. And the Bible says that he was more wicked than any other king there too. Remember that? And the Bible says that Manasseh caused the children of Israel to do more evil than the heathen nation that didn't know God, that God cast out before them. And of course, though, I told you last week what those heathen nations did in the practice of their life. And then I showed you that how that even the worst of them, God can forgive them. And how I took you back in 2 Chronicles and showed you how when Manasseh was carried away, how that God dealt with him, and he got right. Now we're going to pick it up tonight after that. And of course, he got right. He come back and tried to undo what he'd done, try to make things right that he'd been wrong in. But there's some things, I don't care. That's the danger of, and I don't misunderstand me. I'm always glad to see anybody get saved. Amen? But that's the danger of a lot of people don't get saved till they're 30 or 40 or 50 years old. You can be saved anytime. I led a 64-year-old man to the Lord one time, and, you know, even known as Granny, if she got saved, she was in her 80s. But you got to remember, there's still that thing that you've done, you ain't going to make it all right. You're going to reap from some of it. And that's what we're going to see tonight, even though Manasseh did get right. There were some things he couldn't right. See? Now, we're getting all that in just a minute. Look at 2 Kings 21, verse 10. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake by his servant the prophet, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, had done these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judea, and whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle." And notice what God said. He said he's going to bring evil upon them because of the things that Manasseh had done. And he said when people hear about this, and you know, they hear about the wrath of God, it's going to make the blood run to their ears. Did you ever have that happen to you? You know, your ears kind of tingle like, you know, like a little, maybe a small surge of electricity went through them. That's what it's talking about here. See? And notice it said in verse 13, "I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wipeth it, and turneth it upside down." We've already studied what God did to Samaria back in 2 Kings chapter 17. And you remember what he did there? He wiped them out. And he said, "I'm going to do it like a man drying a dish." No, like a man turned a dish upside down and dries it. There's absolutely nothing there. You see, that's the illustration. Now look at verse 14. "And I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the land of their enemies. And they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies." You see? Now look at verse 15. "Because," now here's what he said. This verse 15 is the reason he said verse 14. "Because they have done that which was evil in my sight, and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day." Now look at there. God says that they have provoked me, and this nation been provoking me ever since they came out of Egypt unto this day. Now if you've got a Scofield Bible, you look up there in the top, and you see the margin date there. It says 698 B.C., right? They came out of Egypt about 1500 B.C. That means for almost 900 years they've been provoking the Lord. Huh? I mean, how about that? 900 years they've been provoking the Lord with their pagan worship and their disobedience to what God said. The disobedience, I mean, in practice. Amen? All right. Now, you see, in the New Testament, a man disobeys God in his heart. In the Old Testament, it was more of a practical thing. See? I mean, in the New Testament, you can, as far as everybody, you can look good and sound good and go to church every Sunday and still disobey God every day. See? But it was their practice, you see? Notice what it says. He says it because they have done. See, it's what they did. Of course, I realize that what you do is related to the heart, but you see, everything back there they did was practical stuff that they did different from what God said. At verse 16. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another beside the sin wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice that little phrase there. It says, now the moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much. See? Now, when innocent blood is shed, God will not forgive it. God will require it. Amen? Now, like I said, I told you a while ago, I don't care. You get saved, and that's good. But when you, salvation, there's some things salvation don't change. You see it? Now, Manasseh got right. We saw that back over last week in 2 Chronicles. But the payment for the innocent blood that he shed still had to be paid. See it? Now, this is a law that God established even before Moses. Amen. Now, I want to show you some things tonight. Might maybe help you out, because you'd be surprised. There are people that are confused on this issue and don't understand it. For instance, the other day I was, I read an article, you know, somewhere. I don't remember where I read it. But this woman, she said that in the book of Genesis that God pronounced a curse on the woman, you know, God cursed the man and the woman and the serpent because, you know, the sin. You know all that. But she said that Christ died on the cross and he took the curse off, therefore it's okay for women to be preachers and all this other kind of stuff, see? Well, now, Christ did become a curse for us. I know he did. I mean, he did. That's what Galatians says. But there are some things in the Bible that salvation don't change. Now, I want you to learn it. Now, I'm going to try to give you some things now to help you. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, I might have, there was a man in death row here a while back. He killed somebody. He was sentenced to die. And he said, well, I got saved. Therefore, they should let me go. No. Absolutely not. Don't make no difference. Genesis 9 is in effect before the law, it's in effect under the law, and it's in effect right now. And the way, if you want to find out what I just showed you, if you want to find out in the Bible what is right and what is wrong, what is in effect, and what salvation does affect, everything in that Bible from Genesis 1 up until Genesis chapter 12 is in effect today. And salvation doesn't alter one bit of it. You see? Everything from Genesis chapter 1 up until Genesis chapter 12 will apply to anybody until Christ comes back. You see it? And it'll apply from the beginning, when Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 12, under God called out one race and made the Jewish nation. You see? Everything up to Genesis chapter 12 is applicable today to anybody, and salvation does not affect it. You see? Now, I'm about to say, well, I got saved, and therefore what I did back there should be... No. No, sir. If you did something wrong, I know a preacher, he might probably got, but I know a preacher that was making restitution for money he stole 5 years after he got saved and God called him to preach. He got mixed up some people and a good amount of money and got along, and he got saved and God called him to preach, but he still had to pay that money back, which is right. The last time I talked with him, it's been a long time now. He probably got it squared away. But he said he was making payments on it back then. And don't you get that, well, I'm saved and that erases everything behind me. No, it don't. Not everything. I'm going to give you a few things, examples of what I just told you. Now, maybe somebody may not understand all this, but number one, you came from dirt. Amen? And you're going to die. And the only thing that's going to change that is the rapture. Whether you're saved or not saved, don't make no difference, you see. I'll tell you something else. Here's one that, boy, American people won't believe. If you're going to live very long, you got to sweat. God said you make the living by the sweat of your brow. People don't sweat, they're always sick, and they won't live very long. Read it. I'll tell you another one. A woman's desires to be to her husband. Now, I realize, you know, we're in a time of ERA and all this stuff, you know, but like of all, I've told you 1,000 times, I'll just repeat it again tonight. A man don't rule his house, he'll ruin it. The Bible said if a man know not how to rule his own house, a man ought to know how to rule it. I mean, just because a man can walk in, pick up a board, and knock his wife across the room, don't mean he rules his house. When a man rules his house, he's the authority. He is the authority. Everything in his house comes under him. And he can't rule it right unless he's under God. And salvation don't change that. Amen? The Bible said a woman will bring forth children in sorrow. Well, they don't want to do that now. You see? I'll give you another that says over there. It said, bless it. I'll bless those that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. Now that's a national thing. It's not an individual. God's not going to curse you. But any nation that doesn't help the Jewish nation, God will curse that nation. And history bears that out, see? I'll tell you another one in Genesis chapter 9. The Bible said, God shall enlarge Japhon. You know who Japhon is? That's the Gentiles. You know what that means? Now listen. That means no Hamite will ever set foot on the moon. You want to know why that spaceship went down here a few years ago? Because it had Ham, Shem, and Japhon on it. Now, I don't care what the government said. I don't care what nobody said. I mean, these things are established and can't nobody do anything about it. I mean, the Eskimos didn't discover the North Pole. They from Shem. You know who discovered it? A European. Everything, all the ventures and everything this world ever had, all the men ever ventured out were men from. They were Europeans. They were Gentiles. They were from Japhon. They weren't from Shem or Ham. You know why? God said, "I'll enlarge Japhon." Amen. The Bible said, "Blessed be the God of Shem." You know what that means? That means that every religion in the world came from Shem. Buddhism, Hinduism, Mohammedism, Judaism, and Christianity. It all came from Shem. Amen? Every writer of this Bible came from Shem. See? All the religions of this world came from Shem. Now, you take a lot of religions, Jehovah's Witness, they're just descendants from some of these others, Buddhism or Hinduism or Mohammedism or some of these others, but they all came from this. Now what did Jesus say? Over in John 4, what? Salvation's what? Of the Jews. You know how you got saved? Through the Jews. You know how you got your Bible? Through the Jews. See? Everything you got from God came to you through the Jews. You can't get around it, see? I'll give you another one. Boy, this is a good one. Bible said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants. Nothing ever changed that. You see that? Now, let's go back to Genesis 9. I want to show you something here. I'm going to show you two places. I'm going to show you some things tonight that's our government and even the nation, the United Nations, ought to get a hold to. Go back to Genesis chapter 9. It's on page 16 in your Bible. And look at verse 5. Genesis 9, verse 5. Now listen real close. This was before the law, under the law, and this is in effect tonight, and nothing will change. This is an established law that God said. And let me read it to you. Genesis 9, verse 5. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast. If a beast kills a man, that beast is to be killed. The other day there was an article somewhere about a German shepherd dog that broke out and mutilated a little girl. They were debating whether to kill it or not. All they had to do was read the Bible. Kill it on sight. That's all you got to do. If you believe the Bible, just do what it says. Don't worry about what they say. That's an established law. If a beast kills a man, the beast is to die. If an ox gored a man, the ox was to die. Listen. You know why? He shed innocent blood. Alright? Alright? Notice what it said. Will I require it at the hand of man? At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Look at verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for it is the image of God made he man. You see it? You see that? Now, anybody that's against capital punishment is a Bible despising, Bible rejecting reprobate. Amen. I don't care what the Catholic Church says. Some months ago here, some stupid Catholic bishop wrote an article and said it was a sin to execute murderers. Yeah. Said it was a sin to execute murderers. You see? He's ignorant of God, and he's against God, and he's against the Bible. Anyway, all the Catholic knowing they all the Catholic know how to do is play bingo anyway, see? Alright, now let me read you another thing. Let me show you why God said this. Take your Bible and turn to Numbers 35. Numbers 35. And look at this. Numbers 35. And look at verse 16. Numbers 35, verse 16. You got it? It's on page 213. Page 213. Listen to this. Numbers 35, verse 16. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put on death row. Huh? What did it say? Shall surely be put to death. Look at verse 17, the end of verse 17. He is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Look at the end of verse 18. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Now, what is a murderer? What is a murderer? All right, let me tell you. A murderer is when you kill somebody with malice or for thought or for personal reasons. You see it? Murder has nothing to do with manslaughter. Murder has nothing to do with self-defense or national defense. That's not murder. Romans 13 says, obey them that have the rule over you. If the government says you put on uniform and go to war and kill, that is not murder. You listening? That's national defense. If you're driving down the road and some kid runs out in front of you and you run over him, with no malice, no thought in your heart to hurt nobody, and you kill him, that is not murder. Murder is when your heart, you have something against somebody with intent to destroy him. And God says for that reason, that man is to die. No doubt about it. Alright? Murder is not accidental, and murder is not self-defense. If somebody comes at you with intent to bodily harm you and you stop them and kill them, that's not murder. You have a right to do that. You see it? People need to get this thing straight, see? And if I told here a while back, they say they got a man on death row now. It's been there 17 years. The longest one. And now they're fixing to re-sentence him to life in prison. Now, folks, let me tell you something. You know what that is? That's the result of a nation that don't go by the Bible. See? If I told the judge here, if our legal system is right, I said if it's right, here's the way I feel, and I don't make no apologies to nobody, won't care who hears it. But I feel like this. If a man is tried for murder, and he's found guilty beyond any reasonable doubt, and he's been tried by this right, he hadn't been mistreated, or nobody's tried to deceive him or lie about him, and he's a murderer and been declared guilty beyond any reasonable doubt, and he says at 3 o'clock this afternoon, in the morning, they ought to hang him. No need to care about man keeping 3 or 4 months or 3 or 4 years and feed him and just take him out and do what the Bible says. And if you ain't sure he's guilty, let him go. There's no need for nobody to do what we're doing here, keeping men on death row for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years. That's a nation. That's people don't go by the Bible. And you don't go by the Bible, you're not following God. You're not following God, you're asking for trouble. And I'm going to show you why. Let me read you some more verses here in Numbers. Numbers 35. Let's get a couple more verses here. Look at verse 31. Numbers 35, verse 31. You with me? Numbers 35, verse 31. Moreover, you shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer. In other words, you don't buy him off. You don't try to get him off. You know? I mean, listen, folks, if five people saw a man shoot a man because he hate him, they don't need to get a defense lawyer. You just go out and say, hey, I saw him do it. He's guilty. Get rid of him. What does the Bible say? You shall not take no satisfaction. Don't try to defend him or get him off. Right? For the life of a murderer which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. And you shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled to the city of his refuge. Now, you know, back in the Old Testament, they had cities of refuge. There was five of those cities. We studied about them in Joshua and Judges. And if a man kill somebody accidentally or something like that, for his own safety, he could go to these cities of refuge, and there nobody could bother him. But the Bible's saying here, if a man murders somebody and he goes to the city of refuge, they are to kick him out, not let him stay there. That means you're not to defend the murderer. You're not supposed to help him or defend him or nothing else. You see that? Now, there's a reason for this. There's a reason. Remember what I told you, I said that God will not forgive the shedding of innocent blood. God will require. That's what Genesis 9:5 said. God said, I'll require the blood. See? I require. And when somebody sheds innocent blood, God will not forgive it. God will require it. You see it? Now, look at verse 33. Numbers 35, verse 33. So you shall not pollute the land wherewith ye are for blood. It defileth the land. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therewith, but by the blood of him that shed it. You see? The reason that God tells a nation to kill murderers is that is to keep you from getting killed. You see? That's the history of the world. I mean, here's a nation that comes in and wipes out another nation's, kills a bunch of people, they've shed innocent blood, and there's God sent another nation in to wipe them out. You see that? Let me tell you something. Look at that verse again. It says, it defileth the land. Shedding innocent blood defiles the land. You see that? Now let me say something here. If abortion is murder, somebody's got a lot of paying to do, amen? Now let me tell you something else. Do you know how many people is killed in this nation every year because of people drinking? It averages out one every 20 minutes. One person every 20 minutes is killed on the highways of this nation due to drinking. That's a lot of people every year. Now, I realize a drunk driver may not be the fault of malice, but when a drunk gets in a car, he has foreknowledge of what can happen. Amen. And he sheds innocent blood, it's got to be paid for. Now I'm going to tell you something else, and you probably a lot of people wouldn't agree with this. I'm sure they wouldn't. But I believe that's one of the reasons in this nation the death rate is so high. Teenagers. People are killed some way all the time in this nation. See? And I believe that's the reason. Because we're living in a nation, some states don't even have capital punishment. And they may have it, very few carry it out. You know why? They're going against what God said. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's no question about it. A man doesn't believe in capital punishment is against the Bible and against God and a reprobate in his attitude towards what the Bible says. Don't care what they say. But see what's happened as a nation, we got so far away from God and the Bible, people don't know this no more, see? The preachers don't preach this kind of stuff. You know why? They got people in that congregation that give a good offering that are against capital punishment. All right, back to 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter 21. Look at verse 16. More Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to the another, besides his sin, wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, and all that he did, and his sin that he sinned, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And of course they are, more than kings. And Manasseh slept with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzziah, and Amon, his son, reigned in his stead. All right, now another king comes on. Amon, the son of Manasseh, he comes on the throne now. And let's see what kind of a king he is. Verse 19. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. He had a short reign, just 2 years. And his mother's name was Mehulafim, the daughter of Hazor of Joppat. Now, verse 20, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. See? No saying, you know, like that, like father, like son. But let me show you something here. You notice that now Manasseh got right. Amen. He got right and tried to straighten up all the things he'd done wrong. Listen. But you notice his son didn't try to follow the right things he'd done. He followed the wrong things he'd done. See? You see, that's the way kids are today. They'll follow something wrong 90% quicker than they will something right. You see it? Now, like father, like son, not in every case, but a lot of times. You can't always. I read over in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 44, it said, give a Proverbs, and the Proverbs says, as is the mother, so is the daughter. It's a common proverb, but it's not true in every case. You see? And so is a like father, like son, it's not true in every case. Because we're going to see that very clear right here in these scriptures here. You see? Alright, verse 21. 2 Kings 21:21. And he walked in all the way that his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and worshiped them. You see that? He followed everything that his father did before he got right. See? Verse 22. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers. In other words, that's his fathers now. I'm not talking about, more than once. Talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see? Well, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they worshiped the true God. And this is what he's talking about here. He forsook the Lord God of his fathers and walked not in the way of the Lord. See? He didn't follow. Now, like we said, the general rule is... the general rule at this day and time is most boys love their mother, but they follow their father. The general rule most of the time. But like I said, you know, this day and time, you can't go by the general accepted thing this has been over the past, because most kids today, they're so abnormal. I mean, it's a normal thing for kids to love their parents. But kids today kill their parents. You see, we're living in a generation that's got so far away from God, nothing really goes by the general rule of thing. It's so abnormal. I was listening to radio today, and this man was talking about, they got this thing, they gave it another uproar now about the gun control. And this one fella got on and said, well, I used to have a gun, but I have children now, so I got rid of all my guns. Well, that's stupid. I told a man the other day, this man, lost man. He's a lost man. I told him, I said, let me tell you something. I said, two things ever God-fearing, red-blooded American, you better get you a Bible and a gun and learn how to use them both. He said, I believe that. This man lost. See? Now this fella said, well, when I got children, I got rid of my guns, because I don't want my children around guns. If a war come out, his children be the first to die. Now I've had kids, I've had them around for 30 years. I've always had guns. I still got guns. My children don't bother my guns. I'm not worried about that. What's he worried about? You know what the problem is? He ain't a man. He can't control his kids. See? This thing today about, kids getting in everything and tearing up everything and boiling everything. What's the matter with them? Well, I caught one of my kids in my room borrowing one of my guns. They probably have me at downtown. I don't tolerate that kind of stuff. But see, I'm talking about, we're dealing with people that's got so far away from God, they don't live by no standards and no principles, And there's just some things I don't allow. And, but anyway, that's, everything today, folks, is so abnormal and so, disassociated with the Bible, and so abnormal to the way things ought to be, and that there's problems, and the state and the government and all of it, they're trying to solve the problem, and every problem they try to solve, they make it worse and worse and worse. See? The real problem is get back and start doing what God said, and we get some things straightened out, but they won't do that. See, that's the last thing in the world they want to hear. Well, I'll say this, and this may be off the record, and it ain't in the Bible. But I don't care how many laws they pass, they ain't getting my guns. Because I'm going to tell you this. If the day ever comes when you don't have the right to defend yourself, you may as well go on and die. You finished anyway. And I don't figure I'm ending up that way. I'll end up taking a few with me. Amen. And I'm not a murderer. I believe in going by the law, and I've obeyed the law as much as anybody, but There's just some things they're not going to do. Years ago, I made up my mind there was two things the government wasn't going to do to me. They wasn't going to take my kid, and they wasn't going to take my guns. All right, let me get back here. I get all fired up myself and start thinking like that. When I see the stupidity and the ungodliness that some of these city officials, some of these elected officials trying to do, it makes me want to, I'm like this fellow that said, I just feel like sometimes loading my shotgun and going down there and just blowing the hole, starting with the front desk and going through the place. And I said, I know the feeling. And really I do. All right, verse 23. 2 Kings 21:23. And the servant of Ammon conspired against him and slew the king in his own house. Well, that's why he didn't reign but 2 years. He got assassinated. See it? You see, now that, this ain't in the text. But let me tell you probably what happened, see. The Bible said he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Doesn't it? Well, God just raised some people up to get rid of him. See? Now, let me show you what I mean. And the people of the land slew all them that conspired against King Ammon. And then God got some people to get rid of them. You see it? I mean, God raised some people to get rid of him, and then raised some more people to get rid of them that got rid of him. See? Verse 24. And the people of the land slew all of them that had conspired against King Ammon, and the people of the land made Josiah the king in his stead. Huh? Now, if we went by the general rule, how would Josiah turn out? He'd be a bad one too, wouldn't he? Huh? Because his father was bad. But look down there at verse 20, chapter 22, verse 2. Look at it. Chapter 22, verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. See? Josiah wasn't a bad king. So you see, it's not always the general rule, like father, like son, like mother, like daughter. That's not always the general rule. It's kind of a thing that follows, but it's not always the case. I mean, sometimes a saved man, a praying man that loves God, believes the Bible, might raise a reprobate for a son. And sometime an old sorry man is a drunkard, good for nothing, whoremonger, might turn out to raise a good boy. It's happened a lot of times. So that's not the way it is all the time. It's the general thing, but it's not always the case. It's not always the case. I was hoping, you know, somewhere out of my boy, one of them be a preacher. But ain't one made it yet. But I'd rather fun to be that and be anything. I'd rather fun to be that and be anything else. I never tried to tell mine the most important thing, go out and make a lot of money. I tried to tell the most important thing, go out and live right. You see? And I think that's the most important thing. It's not what you have. It's not who you are. The most important thing is, are you right? See? Because if you're not right, you're not happy. And you're not happy, you're miserable. And I don't see no reason for nobody to live miserable when you can be happy. Amen? And you'll be happy if you live right. Don't tell me. I know what I'm talking about. See? All right, verse 25. The Bible said, now the rest of the acts of Ammon, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Judah? And it was buried in the sepulchre in the garden of Uzziah, that same place his daddy was buried, back here in verse 18. And Josiah, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, Josiah was just a boy. Look at, we'll start chapter 22, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years. All right, look at the difference. Here's a man that comes on the throne, reigns 2 years, gets assassinated. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. Had another man that comes on the throne and does right and reigns 31 years. But then too, that's not the accepted thing either, because Manasseh had the longest reign of any king, 55 years, and look how rotten he was. But he got right anyway, see? You see what we're saying? You see what it boils down to? It's not like, well, my dad, if he'd have been better, maybe I'd have been better. No, that's what to say. Well, you know, if I'd have been raised in a better environment, maybe I. No, no, I don't have nothing to do with it. It's what you are. See, it's your relation to God. It's how right you are with God. See. Now, you can be just as gun-barrel straight as anybody can be and have kids just as sore as they can be, and vice versa. And these kids, they're blaming their parents for their conditioning. And listen, they say, folks, I don't believe that. I believe parents ought to live right and do right and set the example for the kids, but a lot of times you'll do that and they'll still turn out rotten. But I know some decent kids come from some rotten homes, rotten families, too. I mean, I know that. I know a man, this man said, his daddy had the dullest life anybody ever saw in his life. And I reckon that's right. I reckon unsaved people do have a dull life, you know. He said his daddy would say, well, he read his diary. And he said, well, played bridge today with such and such and took a walk. Isn't that exciting? Next day he said, well, rained all day, stayed in the house, couldn't do nothing. You know, just what a dull life. Hey, you want an exciting life? You want an exciting life? Get saved. Go out and live for God. Stand for God. You'll have all the excitement you can handle. You see that? Now, notice that Josiah was an HL boy, so he had a joint ring with his mother. See? Now, apparently he had a good godly mother, too. See? Because, you know good and well that an HL boy don't know enough about life itself to make any important decisions. Amen. And you know good and well his mother had a lot of persuasion on him. Amen. But he still did right in the sight of God. So she must have had some godly character or something, because she led him in the right direction. Right? The Bible said that verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. You see it? Now it means the right, the left means he didn't compromise. You see? You see, when you do right, you don't say, well, I don't agree with it, but we'll let it go. That's compromise. See? The Bible says he did right in the sight of the Lord, and he turned neither to the right nor to the left. That means he went straight down, went straight. You see? He didn't bend a little this way to get along here and bend a little this way to make this work. He just did it right no matter what. And I think that's the most important thing today. All right, verse 3. The Bible said it, and it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Eli, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hedekiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door had gathered to the people. Now let's say in verse 4 it says the sum, that's the amount, count it. You see it? He said, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house. Now see, what it's going to do, it's going to repair the house of the Lord, because it had been tore down. Nebuzaradan, and they come in there and tore that thing up, messed it all up, and he's going to do it. Now there's a spiritual thing here. I realize, you know, this is historical and all that, but there's a spiritual thing there too. The Bible says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Amen. So that means if you're going to do right in the sight of the Lord, the first thing you're going to have to get straight in your life, your spiritual life. Amen. It ain't the fact, well, I got a good job and I make a lot of money and I'm doing good in this world. That's not necessarily mean you're doing right. You see, the Bible says he did right. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. See it? So the Bible says the first thing he was going to do is going to take the, they was having meetings there, take the men that come in and repair the house of the Lord. Now look at verse 6. Unto the carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hew stone to repair the house. Alright. Verse 7. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered unto the hands, because they dealt faithfully. Now look at this thing real close, you see. In other words, verse 7 says there wasn't no checking made. They just collected the money and gave it to them, and they took the money and prepared and did the work they wanted done, and nobody had to check because they were faithful. They wouldn't say, well, let's take a couple of hundred and put aside and say this is all we got and we need more. See? They dealt faithfully. Now, boy, some preacher, they watch that offering plate, you know. They watch that offering plate more than they watch their wife. Huh? Boy, they worry about that offering plate every Sunday morning. That's the main thing Sunday morning, make an offering.